Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Here's the latest, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma's Most Wanted has just hit the website today. You can find out this week's lineup of suspects that authorities want to see behind bars. We've went ahead and included the rap sheets as well. Take a look, YumaDailyNews.com. Somerton School District is the newest district in Arizona to offer free therapist-led mental health resources for parents and guardians through a parent guidance program. You can get more info on that guidance program at YumaDailyNews.com. Arizona is sending surplus military gear to Ukraine. Governor Doug Ducey's office said last week that the State Department of Emergency and Military Affairs is sending 9,000 pounds of supplies and equipment to Ukraine to help in the fight against Russia. The U.S. Marines and students from COFA High School competed in a tug-of-war challenge during a physical fitness event called the Crucible at COFA High School. Read more about the purpose of the event, YumaDailyNews.com. Follow us on our Facebook page for the latest state and local news, Yuma Daily News. For now, that's the latest. I'm Andrew Caravella.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner, and I'm in studio here with a whole group of guys. Good morning, Russ. I'm in here with Russ Clark.
Good morning.
And Cody Beeson.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while, but thank you. I like to have this appearance on Life, Death, and the Law.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming. And then, of course, we have our frequent visitor, Howard Blitz. He's here in the background.
Good morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. All right. So
good
he's
morning,
here.
Cody. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
So it's interesting. My son has been telling all of his friends that they didn't have any school today or on Friday, because he thought that this Friday was Good Friday. And it gets confusing, right? Because you would feel like this is about the time that Easter should occur. Yeah. Easter moves around. And so his birthday is on Saturday, and he thought, well, it's perfect. I'm going to have Friday off. We're going to have school off. We can maybe go tubing or boating or whatever. And so, I don't know, like 13 kids were under the impression that there was no school. And so he had to call them and bear the bad news that it's next week and not this week. So there's that. We're going to talk today a little bit about Easter and why it takes place, the timing that it does, why it's so confusing on the calendar as to when Easter is. We always do that during holidays. We kind of explain the purpose of the holiday and why we celebrate it to make sure we've got the right frame of mind going into the holiday. Another thing is this holiday is really special to me because I am a Christian, and I believe that Easter is significant for a huge the reason that Christ was resurrected, and for that we can all be resurrected and receive forgiveness for our sins. Yep. So that's a big deal. But before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit. I might be short of breath today because I thought it was a good idea to have a wrestling match with my son last night.
Okay.
And he's about to turn 17, so he's not quite 17 yet, but he's still fairly strong. He's still 30 pounds lighter than I am. But so we had a wrestling match, and I think I broke my sternum or something. No, I didn't really break my sternum. I see Cody and Howard sit up in their chairs. No, but I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh, my goodness, my chest hurts so bad I can't breathe. I'm like, what did I do? And then I remembered, well, I got in this little wrestling match with my son. So there's that, too.
Good for him.
You didn't let him win, right? He has to earn that, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, I never let my kids win at anything, whether it's ping pong or wrestling matches or what are some other
things? Basketball or something?
You know, I'm not that great at basketball.
Then that's the one you say you let them win at.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I don't let them win because, I definitely make them earn it. Otherwise, it doesn't have as much significance. So let's get into this a little bit about Easter Sunday and why it is on the day that it is. So it's after the first summer solstice or spring solstice, which is March 21st. It's the first full moon after the spring solstice, March 21st. And so the first equinox. And so I'm doing this from memory because I'm still bringing up my computer here, but Howard's going to keep me straight. So the first full moon after the spring equinox, and the spring equinox is on March 21st, and so that could be as early as March 22nd. It could also be as late as April 25th. And so there's that big span in there. So we've seen sometimes where we've had Easter on in March, and we've seen it when it's been in late April as well. So this year, spring Easter is going to be on April 17th, if I have my calculation correctly.
So one more time. Easter is always...
Go ahead into the microphone, Howard.
Easter is always on the first full moon after the spring equinox?
Sorry, the first Sunday after the first full moon.
The first Sunday after the first...
Yes.
The first Sunday after the first full moon?
Yep.
After the...
After March 21st.
After the spring equinox.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, that's something new.
It is
now,
a little confusing.
That's something new. I never knew that.
Uh-huh.
I never knew that. I can never figure out when Easter would ever be.
So that's when Easter is. And
determined. That was good.
Easter, I mean, there's a lot of significance in Easter. And not only that, but the timing that it has with Passover. So we talk a lot on this show about Christian Judeo morals and standards and beliefs, and that they, those standards were the standards that the founding fathers relied upon in creating the documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the documents that we rely on for our government. And we stray from that. Now, that's not to say that in order to really honor those documents or to benefit from the freedoms guaranteed under those documents, that you need to be of either Christian faith or the Jewish faith. That just means that those are the standards, and so it's helpful to understand our history. So I see Russ over there with pierced lips. Okay, so...
Well, it is to understand the history, and it's... regardless of faith, because it's part of our culture in America, too.
Right. If you understand where it comes from, then you can appreciate its significance. And if you don't like something, well, then you can actually be accurate in pointing back to what it is that you don't like, as opposed to inventing, you know, whatever grievance that you have that you want to take offense to.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about Passover, then, because Passover and Easter interlock very symbolically and historically. So Passover was first instituted after the Israelites had been enslaved by the Egyptians for 400 plus years. And so in Exodus, we learn that God commanded the Israelites just prior to the final and tenth plague that was going to be going to come down onto the Egyptians, that they needed to take in a lamb without blemish. And they needed to bring that lamb on into their home on the 10th day of the first month. Now, the first month for on the Hebrew calendar was March. So we're talking the 10th of March. Oh. So they'd bring the lamb into their home on the 10th day of March. And this lamb, over the next 4 days, would be examined by them for any blemishes. And during the same time period, they would be cleansing their home of any leaven. Now, leaven was a symbolism. Leaven is kind of like yeast. It's what makes it rise. I don't know if it's exactly yeast, but it's what makes bread rise. And it also makes bread ferment quicker. Right. And so it was a symbol of impurity. And so they were to cleanse their house of any leaven and prepare for the fourth day that evening when the lamb would be killed and the family would gather together to eat the lamb and to spread the blood of the lamb on the posts, the doorposts. So it would be a symbol to the destroying angel that these were believing children of God and that the destroying angel would pass over them, hence the word Passover, and they would be spared, and the firstborn of that house would be spared from the death that would occur to all other unbelieving households, i.e. the Egyptians. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Mother Nature's starting to crank up the heat just a little bit today, near 90 this afternoon. But as high pressure gets stronger, tomorrow, 94. 97 the high by Wednesday.
Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful, U.S.-based representatives. Available 24/7. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Switch to Spectrum Mobile and get unlimited data for only $29.99 per month each when you get two or more lines. You could save hundreds on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Offer valid for new customers on two or more unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com for details.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. And this show is dedicated to talking about, initially, estate planning. And we've kind of gone off course for a couple reasons. Number one, it kind of gets boring to talk about estate planning all the time. And there's a lot of things going on in our world, and it really helps to stay grounded in understanding the politics without the spin, hopefully. Now, everybody's got a bias, and I'll be the first to admit my bias, and you can only attempt to see clearly when you acknowledge your bias. And so I'm Christian, first and foremost. I'm an American citizen after that, and I want to acknowledge my roots, and then by acknowledging those biases, I can acknowledge the history of our country, and in this case, the history of my faith. And so what we're talking about is the Passover. Now, we're going to have these large Easter egg hunts in 2 weeks from now, generally on Saturday. Some people do it on Saturday, some people do it on Sunday. We're going to be celebrating Easter. I don't know where the Easter bunny and all these Easter eggs, because bunnies don't even have eggs. And so it really is like all these bizarre kind of twists on the holidays. But what really is Easter? And so, Cody, for Easter, what is that to you? What does Easter symbolize to you?
You know, so obviously church is more full during Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but other than that, you know, it's I've always kind of viewed it as a, you know, almost more of a kid, not a kid's holiday, but, you know, so Thanksgiving, yeah, that's adults, but Easter is really more for the kids because we've made it for the kids. You know, we've introduced the Easter basket and, you know, getting, you know, goodies and prizes and going for Easter egg hunts. And
it's
really
like a mini Christmas.
Yeah, we really, yeah, a quarter Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
And we really kind of got off track of what it really is about. I mean, you look at like the Jewish religion, much more focused on the religious aspect of it. And we've turned it into another commercial holiday.
Yeah.
So.
And so, but for you personally, so you've described what I see out there every day too, but for you personally, what is it?
Well, I mean, growing up in a church, that's, to me, I guess that's the, you know, what your focus is on. Like you've, again, like kind of going through this, what we're talking about, you think of communion, it usually happened on Easter Sunday. You know, and I don't know if that's the same in your church or other churches, but to me, that's what I remember is,
yeah,
you know,
we partake of communion. We do communion weekly,
okay,
every Sunday. And so we do it for sure on Easter Sunday as well.
And yeah, so I guess that was it. And this is really where communion started.
Yes.
You know, but the washing of the feet and, you know, the body and the blood and,
okay,
and all that, you know.
Russ, how about you? Any thoughts?
Well, I did not grow up in a very religious family, so it was always about the Easter egg hunt.
Okay.
For us,
yeah.
Up. Of course,
gotcha.
Of course, since then, you know, we kind of figured out the resurrection thing.
Okay. Yeah.
and moving it on from there. But it was always big for just Easter, but it was never explained to me as a child,
okay,
the religious aspects. And I imagine a lot of kids are like that today. They wouldn't know the resurrection connection.
Yeah. So. So let's talk about it a little bit, and if we get it out there in the community, maybe parents can realize, hey, this is actually what I grew up in, or mm-hmm, research it for themselves. Get back to the Bible, get back to Exodus, Leviticus, and then you get into those. That talks about the initiation of the Passover feast, and then you go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and it talks about the culmination of all of that coming together with the crucifixion of Christ. And so let's talk a little bit more. We talked about the initiation of it. It began on the 10th day of March, which was the first month for the Hebrew calendar. And so on the 10th day, they'd bring this lamb in, and it'd be examined. And on the 4th day, so on the 14th day of March, they would kill the lamb. They would spread its blood on the doorpost and indicate that they were believers, and the destroying angel would pass over, and then they would have a feast. And in that feast, there would be three main staples. There would be lamb, and then there would be unleavened bread. And so unleavened for two purposes here. One purpose is they didn't want to have any of the yeast in there or any of the leaven that would make it rise, so take out the impurities of it. So it's this flat bread. And also to symbolize the haste in which the Hebrews would have to flee out of Egypt once Pharaoh agreed that, yes, they could leave. So they were going to have to, as soon as that was, the you know, green light was given, they're going to have to get out quick. And so that was a symbol to them. Make unleavened bread. You're not going to have time for this to raise. You're going to be able to, you're going to have to grab it, stock it up, and get out of there.
Never heard that.
So that's the unleavened bread.
There's a lot of other items on that Seder plate.
Okay.
That have a lot of symbolism for Passover. Horoses, which is a nice sweet type of food, and that talks about the greatness of life, the sweetness of life. There's also bitter herbs.
Yeah.
That talk about the bitterness of the slavery that the Israelites experienced. There's also the egg, which talks about the birth of life.
So that's where the egg comes from.
So there's six items on the Seder plate.
Okay.
That have.
So this egg just isn't an invitation.
No, it comes from the Passover.
Okay, so we commercialized it and we forgot it completely.
Stole it. Yeah.
But yes, so okay, so the egg does have some. I love having
that's
that.
That's what happens with you Christians. You copy all the Jews.
That's right.
So, well, at least if I understand that, then at least I can help my kids understand. Hey, listen, we've got these eggs here. It indicates new life, right? Because we all recognize spring as new life. Now, not as much here in Yuma as when I grew up in northern Idaho. I mean, spring was a big deal. I mean, we're coming out of our hibernation in our cabin after 3 months.
Chicago the same way.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've got these different things. Now, the bitter herbs was a big deal, right? The bitterness of slavery. And later, according to Jewish tradition, wine was implemented as a symbolism of the sweetness of the freedom that they received as a result of being freed from that slavery. And so then after that, there's the feast of unleavened bread and the feast of the first fruits. And that happens on the 15th of March through the 21st of March. And so again, no leaven is to be consumed. So again, a sign of purity. And they're also commemorating the fact that they had to leave Egypt in haste. So that's where the unleavened bread comes in. And then the offering of the first fruits is celebrated on the first Sabbath following the feast. And so that could be a varying day, right? Because it's always on the 10th of March. And then on the first Sabbath after the 15th, that's when there would be the feast of the first fruits. Now, what the first fruits was the priest would get some grain, the best grain of the field, and they would prepare it in flour, and they'd mix it with oil and with frankincense, and they would burn it on the altar. And that would be a symbol of gratitude by the people for God giving them the food that they have to eat and their harvest. And so they would give first to God before enjoying for themselves the harvest of that season. And so that is the feast of the first fruits. And so now let's incorporate this into what happened on the last week of Jesus' life. The Sunday that he entered in to Jerusalem, that's called Palm Sunday. And it's called Palm Sunday because when he entered in, the people recognized him as the king, the long-awaited king and the redeemer. And a sign of reverence to their kings was to cut down palm fronds and to lay it down in front of the kings. And so he was recognized as a king entering into Jerusalem. And for the next 4 days, he went about teaching the people. And where did he teach? Well, he taught it in his father's house, which was a temple. And so he's teaching the people of the gospel, of why he is there. And he's really bringing back together everything that had been prophesied of in the Old Testament. And while he's teaching, he's also being examined. Who's examining Christ? Do you remember that?
Pharisees.
The Pharisees. Speaking of the microphone there, Cody.
Well, I feel like the Pharisees, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, the Pharisees, they're examining him, right? They're trying to find fault with him. And that's significant because that's the same time period where the families that the lamb had been living with in their homes would be examining the lamb for blemish to make sure that this is the proper sacrificial lamb for the celebration. And so he's being examined by these priests. And he's also cleansing the temple. Because if you remember, when he went into the temple, there were a lot of money changers there. And that was seen to be very offensive to him in the house of God, that they would turn this sacred holy place into a place of commerce. And so he overturned the money changers' tables, and he pushed them out of the temple, right? He cast them out. And the priest came to him and questioned him and said, by what authority are you doing this? And he came back to them, and he said, they're not going to believe him. He's already said several times who he is. They're not going to believe him. They're really looking for another reason to condemn him. And he says, well, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. If you tell me by what authority John baptizes, I'll tell you what authority I do this. And they know that the people revere John as a prophet. And so they're not going to condemn John and say, well, he didn't have authority. And they're also not going to acknowledge that his authority came from God, because then that would justify Christ. And so they say, well, we can't tell. And so Christ says, well, neither then do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And they get offended, and they said, well, we are the sons of Abraham. And then Christ then pronounces who he is. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now remember, when Christ appeared as Jehovah to Moses, he announced his name as I am. And so the Jews knew very, very significantly. For us reading the New Testament after the fact and saying, before Abraham, I am, it doesn't strike us right off the bat that he's declaring that he is that person that visited Moses. But upon further study, it becomes fairly clear that he is that God. He is Jehovah. He is now here in the flesh. And he has authority because he is the God of creation. And so that's significant that they examined him and he confounded them in all of their attempts to find fault with him. So he cleanses the temple, and then he participates in the Passover feast, and that is the Last Supper. And then he implements a new ordinance, which is the sacrament. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about this new ordinance that's going to take place of the Passover Supper. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Brighten up April with Paradise Casino's $45,000 Spring Fever Cash and Rewards Play Giveaway. Spring into winning and earn entries by playing all month long. Don't miss the hourly drawings on April 2nd, 16th, and 30th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. You could win up to $5,000. So much, so close. Paradise Casino.
Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
Radio advertising is one of the most effective forms of modern communication. At its core, radio uses the power of the human voice, combined with words and sound, to create lasting images in your mind. It stimulates the creativity of the most powerful of human organs, the brain, to create lasting images and an emotional bond associated with your company and your brand, which in turn will lead to winning a share of the consumer marketplace. Learn more about how to make this most powerful of communication vehicles work for your business at YumaAdvertising.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning. But today we're talking about Easter because, not this week, but the following week, as can be confusing, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, will be the Holy Week, and then it'll be followed at the end by the culmination with Easter on Sunday, Good Friday, then Easter on Sunday. And we talked about how you can determine when Easter is. So if you don't have access to Google or the internet, you know, the something terrible goes on, we've got this outage, you know that now it's after the spring equinox. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox. Okay, so we've got all that straightened out. Now we're talking about, it's been 4 days that Christ has entered in his triumphal entrance back into Jerusalem. He's being recognized as a king. Now, between this Sunday that he comes back in and the next Sunday, there's going to be a huge turn of events. He's going to go from being recognized as the king to being crucified and condemned to the Jews. Now, to be fair, not all Jews condemned him. It was the leading class of the Jews, the Pharisees, and more specifically the Sanhedrin, and Caiaphas, the chief priest. And so Christ, he knows that this is going to happen. He understands that he's going to be offered as a sacrificial lamb. He is going to be the culmination of all of these 1,000 years leading up to this point where all these lambs have been sacrificed in commemoration of this great and last sacrifice that will occur. And that's going to be him. And his disciples are begging him, don't go back to Jerusalem because you're going to be slain. They're going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And he knows. And when Peter really tries to attempt to prevent him, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." And that's a harsh chastisement of the chief apostle. And so he knows that this is his mission, and he is going to fulfill his mission. So he goes, and we know that during the Last Supper, there are emblems that are implemented for us to remember the sacrifice that is going to occur. And those emblems are the bread. And so he takes the bread and he tears it. And he says, "This is in commemoration. Take and eat in memory of my body, which is about to be broken." And then he passes around the wine, the cup of wine, the chalice of wine, right? And he says, "Take and drink in remembrance of my blood that will be spilled." And so that is the sacrament. That is the communion. Now, I've got some guys here, and you're all looking at me. Chime in if I'm missing something that sticks out to you, but that is the Last Supper. Now, what isn't spoken of in the New Testament, and that I don't know that it was implemented in any way as far as the disciples partaking of it as part of the new ordinance that would take place, or this new testament, this new covenant, and that's another word for testament is covenant. This new covenant that Christ is entering into is the bitter herbs. And afterwards, when he goes out into this beautiful garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to the Father, and he asks that the Father will take away from him this bitter cup, because he knows it's his role to take the bitterness of the suffering of humankind, and more to the point, sin, which is slavery, in a sense. It's slavery to Satan, and it keeps us away from God, the freedom of returning and living with God. And so he's going to take the bitter herbs himself. He's going to drink the bitter cup, and he's going to do that when he goes in the Garden of Gethsemane and atone for our sins. And so he does. He goes and he prays, and after he prays and he atones for our sins, then the priests have sent out soldiers to take him and to try him in the middle of the night, which is against Jewish law, but they do it in the middle of the night. And Peter's right there to stand in his defense. And what does Peter do? Does anybody remember off the top of their head? He smites off the ear of one of the soldiers with his sword. And Christ says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And he says, so Judas betrays him with a kiss, kisses him as a symbol to the soldiers that this is the person that the chief priests are looking for. And Christ allows himself to be taken. But before he does, he takes the ear that has been smitten off by Peter, the soldier's ear, and he puts it back on, and he heals the soldier then and there. And you got to be a little bit concerned if you're that soldier when your ear has just been miraculously healed, that you're taking this guy and you're going to deliver him to be ultimately crucified. But he is taken, and he's examined by the chief priests. Now, why is that so significant by the chief priests? Because they are the ones that determine which lambs will be sacrificed in the temple, which lambs are worthy to be sacrificed in the temple. They determine all the sacrifices, and they are the judges of that sacrifice. So they condemn Christ, but at the same time in condemning Christ, they're actually determining him as the worthy lamb of God to be sacrificed. So he is scourged. He's taken before Pilate. They don't have the Sanhedrin at that time because they're under the rule of the Roman Empire. They don't have the authority to condemn anybody to death. That is up to the Romans. And so he takes them to Pilate. Did I say Caesar before? I meant Pilate, if I did say Caesar. Pilate is serving under Caesar. And so they take him before Pilate to be condemned. And Pilate says, I don't find any fault in this man, so I will chastise him and I will release him. And the Jews say no. And so Pilate looks for another reason to release him, because his wife has had this very unsettling dream that this is a just man, and that if Pilate's to do anything with this man, it's going to come on his head. And his wife says, don't have anything to do with this man. Do not condemn this man. So Pilate says, well, listen, there's the tradition to release one prisoner during your Passover. So I will release a prisoner. Here we go. We've got this prisoner. Now I've got a way out. I'm not breaking your law. I'm not going against the Sanhedrin, which was a body to be reckoned with. They kept the peace of the Jews, in which Pilate was charged with keeping the peace of the Jews as well. So if the Sanhedrin wasn't happy, the Jews weren't going to be happy. Pilate was not going to be doing his job, and Caesar wouldn't be happy. So he's kind of caught in this quandary here. And so he says, well, here we go. We can satisfy your law, and I can release this just man. And they said, no, we want Barabbas, who is known to be a murderer. We want Barabbas. He was also accused of sedition. And so he's like, Barabbas instead of Jesus? And they said, yes, give us Barabbas. So they said, well, so Pilate says, well, what do we do with Jesus then? And, of course, they cry out, crucify him. So the Romans, according to Roman tradition, this is not a way that Jews kill people that are condemned. Now, what is the condemnation? It's that of blasphemy for the Jews. But what is the condemnation before the Romans? Well, it's that of sedition, because Romans don't care if you worship a different god or if you claim to be God. They have lots of different gods, right? So blasphemy isn't a crime that is punishable by death. But for the Jews, it is. So the Jews just say, it's not blasphemy, it's sedition. He's going to raise up an insurrection against the Roman government, and that's why you should crucify him. And so crucifixion is important to remember. That is for people that it's a symbolic death. Anybody that tries to do what this person did, you're gonna meet the same fate. And so he's crucified. Now, of course, that fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And there are differing timetables in the New Testament as to when the crucifixion happened. But according to John, the crucifixion happened between 3 and 5 p.m. on the same day and during the same time that the priests were slaying the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, for Passover week. So the sacrificial lamb was occurring in the temple, and it was occurring on the cross at the same time. And then he was entombed for that. it was a Friday, so he's entombed that night. They wanted him taken down because before sunset, sunset would begin the Sabbath. The Sabbath was sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night. And so he was entombed before that sunset, and he rested on the Sabbath. He rested from the labors of his mortal ministry here on earth. And then on Sunday, he was resurrected, and that's why Christians recognize Sunday as the new Sabbath, because that's when Christ was resurrected. Now, interestingly enough, it didn't always happen on the calendar, on the Jewish calendar, during this time period, but in this particular year, that was the same day of the Feast of the First Fruits. And so the same day that the Jewish people gave thanks to God for the first fruits of their harvest, Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, was released from the tomb, and death was broken for all of us, that bondage of death. And so there's a lot of symbolism that goes into that. So when we understand that and we go into this Holy Week, it's really neat to understand how thousands of years of history can be understood and appreciated if we see the symbolisms that go on during the celebrations that we continue today. Now, a lot of pagan beliefs were intertwined in with Christian beliefs, and for that reason, a lot of Christian faithful followers don't like to celebrate those holidays, and I'm completely respectful of that. However, in understanding the history, it gives me even more reverence for the celebration and the holiday that we have, as opposed to looking at it as something of blasphemy. I look at it as a way to worship and to remember what has been done for me. And that's why I wanted to talk about Easter today. I know we've got a break coming up. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hey guys, there is some important news that all men should take very seriously. Your prostate health. Are you urinating more frequently? Are you waking up at night to urinate? Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that just don't work? Sound familiar? If you are one of the millions of men with prostate problems that are driving you nuts, there is some great news. Prostagenix is the all-natural product that beat over 157 other prostate supplements in lab tests and was rated the number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. Number one, because it works. So why not try some Prostagenix and your prostate troubles will be a thing of the past. You'll get a great night's sleep and stop waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. To get your free bottle of Prostagenix, call now, 800-600-2020. That's 1-800-600-2020. Take advantage of our 90-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-600-2020. Do it now.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Back Yuma. This is Sean Garner. So we had a good discussion about Easter, and now I want to talk a little bit about what we do. Okay, this is also an hour for talking about how we can help the Yuma community get their affairs in order. And so to tie that in a little bit, I want to talk about my experience with getting surround sound in my house. So surround sound is something that I really enjoy, and my family really enjoys it. But it's one of those things that it's kind of a touchy subject, because when I put it all in and I install the receiver, receivers can be fairly complex as you get them installed with the TV, and they sometimes have two or three remotes, and then if you get it off the wrong setting on the receiver, then it never works, and then the kids are upset because they get no sound at all, and the wife is upset because she can't watch a movie. And so it's you're walking a thin line here when you're installing this. You're either going to listen to the TV speakers, or you're going to get a surround sound that works well. And so what I've done is we have Roku TVs, and I recently learned that they're sponsored by this communist Chinese government, and so that's... That was a bit of a downer on my new purchase of my new TV, but I unintentionally sponsored, I guess, the communist government. Anyway, I've got this Roku TV in my house, and it's got to work. The surround sound has got to work off of the Roku device. If you can't turn on the TV and their program, whether it be Netflix or Prime or PBS Kids or whatever they're going to watch, if they can't turn the sound up on the surround sound with automatically turning the receiver on and boosting the volume and turning down the volume, they're not going to use it. And so I've worked diligently. You've got to get the right receiver, and you can use what's called an ARC port. And so ARC, it speaks between the TV and the receiver, so you only use one remote, that teeny little remote that you get with... If you're going to use Roku, you can use your Roku remote. If you're going to use Fire Stick, it works directly with their Fire Stick remote. It works great. And so I've been doing that to install that in my house, and it's been this labor of love that I've been doing, and it works. And the reason I tell you all this is because we really enjoy surround sound, and I know the importance of it having to be easy. It's got to be something that my whole family, from my five-year-old son to my wife, understand. And that is the same with estate planning. If you don't understand it, you're not going to do it. If you don't understand it, you don't know how important it is. And so what we recommend that you do is go on our website. It is www.yuma.law. Go on our website. It could not be easier than that. You could go to yumastateplanning.law or .com. Cody, I think we've got some other.
Deason Garner Hanson.
DeasonGarnerHanson.com.
That's a freebie, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just if you Google in there, estate planning, Yuma, you will find our website. And look on the reviews. I mean, we've got over 1,000 reviews on different platforms, from Facebook to Google to the Better Business Bureau to Yelp, of people who have watched the video. Some people just give reviews about the video and how helpful it was for them to understand the process of getting their affairs in order. And I think everybody here has gone through that process, right? And so you first watch the video and you understand, okay, here's some basic steps, some basic concepts to get this in order. And so what you do is you watch that video first, and then you give us a call, and you sit down, and we do a free consultation with you, and we talk about your family, whether it's a blended family, whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whether you're remarried, and we talk about what you would want to have happen with your legacy. Now, your legacy may be your home, a bank account, and a car. It may be much, much, much more than that. Several bank accounts, a retirement account, some stocks and bonds. We talk about how you can bring that together. And so one of the important things that we do is we walk down a list and we say, okay, where do you bank? We're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Where do you bank? Wells Fargo, Chase, First Bank Yuma, Foothills Bank. Great. Okay. We list those down. By the end of the conversation, we have a list of the bank accounts that you have. Now, I don't care about getting into the details of your finances. I don't want you to bring bank statements. I don't want you to bring car titles or deeds to your home. I just want to understand how we can make this list. Because by the end of that appointment, which takes about an hour and a half, I'm going to send you home with a list. And it's a list of the documents that you need to gather together, and I'll give you a binder. Now, the binder is not this leather-bound, gold embossed binder. It's just a regular $5 vinyl binder, but it has 10 tabs in it. And in those 10 tabs, you can put in the document that fits for each criteria of asset that you have, and that feels good. Just getting that step done feels good about getting your affairs in order. And then you can come back, and you'll also have an outline. Sorry, when you first go home with that first appointment, you'll have an outline of who will be in control if you pass away, that your kids will not be left to be fought over by your in-laws and by your brothers and sisters about who will be their guardians, that your kids will not be fighting over who will be your personal representative if there's a probate, or who will be the trustee if you do indeed have a trust. They will know what your wishes are. You will understand how that procedure works. I will send you home with that outline, whether or not you retain me as your attorney. You can take it to another attorney. You can work on it yourself. You can jump online and use it. But if you feel comfortable with working with us, you'll have that outline. And then you'll bring back the homework that I've given you and check off each of the boxes that I give you to bring in the documentation. So then we can write letters to the institutions that need to, what we call, fund the trust. And that is the process of retitling the assets out of your name, so you don't own it anymore, into the name of this trust, which is this immortal entity that will continue to exist after you die, and you'll have the people you trust in charge of distributing your assets and continuing your legacy once you pass away. So that is what we recommend that you do. The very first step is go on to YumaEstatePlanning.com or just Google Estate Planning Yuma and watch our video. It takes about a half an hour. And what we're talking about is a video that's talking about trusts and wills and power of attorney. And it sounds extremely boring.
It's not.
You've watched it, yeah. Russ. You've yeah. watched it, Cody.
Lived it, yeah.
You've lived it, yeah. Right? Cody, you were there. You were helping create it and putting together the slides. And we did it because it was a culmination of years with people asking questions, and we tried to focus on the questions that people most had to address their concerns.
Sean, a lot of people have asked me, I got a will, so I don't have to worry about anything else.
Uh-huh.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit and why that may be a false statement?
Well, certainly. A will is a good starter point. It will allow you to determine who is going to be in control of your estate when you pass away. But a will is a document that has to go through probate. It has to be submitted to the court, and that is the process of opening up probate, submitting the will to the court, and the court has to acknowledge that the will is valid and then has to appoint a personal representative. And that personal representative has to accept certain orders from the court that it will fulfill duties and responsibilities of giving notice to the creditors, publishing notice in the newspaper, giving notice to all legal heirs, regardless of whether or not they're going to be beneficiaries named under the will. And you have to report back to the court that you've done all of these notices. You have to give an accounting of the estate to the court, to the heirs, to the beneficiaries. And then you can begin the distribution after all the creditors have been paid. And so that's quite the process. That is probate, and that is what you're going to get if you have a will.
And if that's all you have, then that's what you get.
Right.
But by having a trust, you avoid the whole court proceeding?
Yes, and the reason why is because the court is in control. The court has authority to determine who is going to administer your estate if the assets are held in your name. But in a trust, when you die, there's no assets held in your name. In fact, even when you're alive, they're not held in your name. That's why it's called a living trust. It works while you're alive. And so the assets aren't in your name. So when you die, the court says, okay, rubbing its hands together, what are we going to do? What do we have access to? Oh, nothing. Because this person died without any assets, And so we don't have any control over anything. Who does have control? This trust. Okay, did the trust die? No. It's still in full force and effect. We're just going to change management from the client now to their daughter, their son, their spouse, their brother, their sister, whoever they designated as a person that they feel confident to carry out their wishes without any further legal intervention.
Then is there really any need for a will? Can you just do a trust?
So we always do a will, but it's called a pour over will. So think of a bucket that catches anything that might fall through the cracks. So if you forget to put a car into your trust, if you forget to put a bank account into your trust, the will catch it and it'll pour it over into the trust. And that's how they work together. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you for listening. This is 560 AM, KBLU. The law.
Or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.